United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports that
you... For you, with your own...
...to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility...
Kim Baker resigned. What am I supposed to do? Well, the government seems to be cheating, selling us to the enemy. And those who're supposed to be preaching are no.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 9 minutes after the hour of 12 o'clock, and I hope you're having a good day today. It is the 7th of May, and for those of you who are here in Ohio, I hope you guys would know that today is election day. Today is our primary election, and I'm hoping that all of you are going out to vote. For those of you who are in the city of Youngstown, there is a charter amendment on the ballot. Please vote no. If you have any questions about it, give me a call here. It's going to be an open mic for a good portion of the day. I've got a guy coming on who is a former militant terrorist, and he is Islamic in nature, and we're going to talk to him a little bit early at about 12:30. So I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say. He's going to talk about what's going on and what happened in Boston. We'll talk a little bit about Syria and just have an open conversation with him. And I bring people on that are a little bit different than the norm because I don't understand it all. And I like to hear both sides of an equation because if I hear both sides of the equation, that means I can begin to understand what I believe a little bit better and my facts. I think sometimes we become lopsided in our journalism. And so instead of showing you both sides from a side that you know that you probably are going to oppose and not understand, we just stay on our one side because it's easy and it's safe there. So I'm going to have him on at 12:30, and we're going to have this open conversation, and we're going to see what he has to say about the terrorist war on terror that we have here in the United States and where we are right now. And so, but I want to go back to right now in the Mahoning Valley. Today is election day. I hope you guys know today is the election day. And if you don't know that today is election day, you got some problems. And for the most part, I want to talk a little bit about the pacifism of the American electorate. And I don't think we understand how it is eroding our American fabric. When you have people stand in lines and you are moved to the polls to go and vote for things that are the president and the governor and certain amendments, and they push you by their money and they engage you by your emotions and they push you to the polls to vote in their direction. Yet, if no one pushes you, you don't have the motivation to go and to vote for yourself. And I don't think you really understand what that does to your everyday quality of life. And because of the passiveness of you as the American electorate, because you're not paying attention to the voting in the primary, the voting in the off years, people are controlling you on the local level. And they are macro-managing you on the larger level, and you wonder why things are the way they are. It is your responsibility as an American citizen to be a part of the electorate and to engage yourself in the process. I know a lot of people say, well, I'm not a political person. I don't like politics, and I don't get involved. That's why we are living in the mess we are living in today is because of your messed up attitude when it comes to getting engaged in the process. You can't say that you're an American citizen, you have your rights, but when your rights are violated, you have a problem when you don't participate in the process. And when you look at what's going on today in the Mahoning Valley when it comes to this primary, everyone who has not gone out to vote today should be ashamed of themselves. I say that with disdain. You should be ashamed of yourself for not participating or paying attention to the primary process here in the Mahoning Valley and across the state of Ohio. Today is election day, and as long as you're not emotionally charged to go and vote, you're not going to vote. That is so sad. That is just so, so sad. That's what's wrong. That's what's wrong with our everyday, with our education system. That's what's wrong with our laws, that's what's wrong with our Supreme Court, that's what's wrong with our judicial system. It's because we do not pay attention to the details, and they're getting ready to consume us, and you have no idea how they are eroding at your quality of life every day because you're not paying attention to what's going on. I'm sorry. You guys know I'm into politics, and when I look at the people who came out to vote already, it's a light, light, light turnout. Some of you don't even have anything on the ballot, so you don't have to go and vote. I understand that. But those of you who do, you should know. And you should be voting, and you're not. It is just that bad. It is just that bad. And we have no idea what we're doing. Youngstown City is voting for a mayor, but they're not paying attention to the mayor that they're voting for. They got a charter amendment that's on there that is wacky, as the worst wacky doodle that you ever saw, and you're not even going to go out and vote yes or no. But when it comes and knocks on your door, then you're going to say, file. You got to pay attention to some things. You, come on, guys. Go vote. It's not that hard. The city of Youngstown, you've got three things to vote for. Oftentimes, you may have two. Borman, in some precincts, you have one, and some you have two. But you ought to be doing something. Okay. I'm done with that. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Those of you who are interested in education, right now, TED, and I think you guys heard me talk about this, if you go to TED.com, TED.com is a group of, I want to say intellects that come on and they do speeches and they do talks on education, on technology. They do it on, they have all kinds of conferences and they do all kinds of talks across the world with various people about education. And you should take a look at them. You'd be very, very impressed with what they do and how they do with what they do. And you're not going to agree with everything on there, but it's very, very enlightening when you look at TED.com. The number here is 347-945-5229. And I want to hear from you. I've got a guest coming on at the bottom of the hour. I've yelled at you long enough about education. But I want people to understand that we are going to have to change our world from the inside out, and it's going to take us. Things are not going in the direction that we want them to go in because we are not paying attention to where we're headed. And if you don't open up your eyes and begin to look forward and begin to pay attention to the road in front of you, you are going to run off the road and casualties will come. And I don't think we are paying attention to our future. And because we're not paying attention to our future, because we're not dealing with the issues at hand, we are in a collision course. Whether you be in the church, whether you be out of the church, whether you be a Republican, whether you be a Democrat, black or white, we are being played like pawns on a chess game. And it's time for you to man up or woman up and take responsibility. We talk about rich people getting richer and poor people getting poorer, and we talk about the new world order, and we talk about who's doing what. I had a conversation yesterday, and they were talking about racist Republicans, and I get so offended by it because they act like Republicans are the racist people of America, but yet Democrats are not racist at all. And what I'm trying to really instill into everyone that people are people, and you can't put a definition on a person based upon other people just because they are part of an organization. They're good and bad in all people and all organizations and all policies, and there's good and bad in all of it. And to paint everyone with the same brush is just very, very disingenuous. And that's something that we're going to have to stop doing. And our media plays on it. The people who motor us to the polls by sensationalism, they play on the division of it so that they can control you. And what I need for people to do is to stand up and can take control of their own lives so that they can make their own decisions and they don't have to be enslaved. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Tracy?
What?
I'm a man. I'm straight. And I'm not gay.
Yeah, right.
And I just went out and bought me a new car. And you know why I can? Because I'm finally in the game.
How did you get in the game, Paul?
Because I decided to just do what everybody else is doing.
And that is?
This thing you're talking about, waiting for the world to come to an end, we already know that's going to happen. And we as people of color are finally getting to a place where we can participate in some of it before it comes to an end.
So did you go vote?
Huh?
Did you go vote? Did you vote today?
Most definitely.
Okay, as long as you voted.
Most definitely. I mean, you're taking the broad brush. These folks ain't hurting out here like you're thinking they are. And these people ain't worrying about the country going on because you know one reason: we're too big to fail.
Who said that?
The government that we serve so well. We're too big to fail. We're not going to fail.
No, we can't fall.
Crazy.
What?
He just found three women that had been missing for 10 years. Now, either somebody wasn't looking for them, or they hid right out in front of everybody. Now, come on, give me a break. This, it's not as bad as you're trying to plant this big
old
scenario.
It
yes,
is.
Ma'am. Yes.
It is bad. Trust me when
crazy.
I say that. It is.
You are.
Yeah.
You got a talk show. You're a black woman. You're beautiful. You got it going on. You're there. You're almost over the top on your way back down, but at least you're enjoying it while you can. Enjoy it while you can, because we're all either going to be flourishing together or we're all going to be hungry together. That's the message that you better get out. Because you can't, the Bible says poor people going to always be with you. So if there's going to be poor people, there's going to be rich people. The middle class thing is the thing that we invented. The government invented that. You know that.
Okay.
I'm a garbage man. I make a lot of money. But the guys at the at golf course, they don't want to see me on there. They don't want to see me on the court. I'm not of that caliber. You understand what I'm saying? The color of my skin and my skills may get me on the course. But they really don't want me there. But see, they can't stop me now because I got money. And my money can get me there. That's it. And everybody should know that. Well, I think they do know that. And you know it. So don't play this whole scenario about we struggling, because ain't nobody struggling. I'm looking at all these car rides out here. They got cars on one week, and they're gone the next week.
Sweetie, listen to what I'm saying.
When I say that
we're struggling, having a car and a place to sleep does not mean that you are not struggling or that you have arrived. What I'm saying is, And understand what I mean.
If you're riding on the bus every day, I bet it is. Go ahead.
What I'm saying is, our young people, and who I'm very, very concerned about.
Yes.
Our young people.
Yes.
If you look at 80% of people in New York City are graduating from school and can't read.
Yes.
When you're looking at the young men who are coming out of high school, or dropping out of high school and going into the penitentiary, when you look at the population who does not have the education, because you are getting a government check.
Yes.
When you look at unemployment in the African American community and it is rising, and you might have a car, you might have a new car. But if you pay
for it, it's rising in the other community just as well.
Listen to what I'm saying. But if you have a car and you're paying that car note with Social Security, and you don't have a supplemental income, you're not free.
Well, you don't know I don't have a supplemental income.
I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying overall.
Well, I don't know what people's income sources is. All I know is when I listen to some talk shows, people have tons of money sitting in the bank, don't know what to do with it, don't know how to invest it correctly. They don't know who to trust anymore. But money is out there. People are not doing things. Look at this situation with this fracking stuff. You know, I asked a guy the other day, if you put a well next to my house, is that going to increase the value of my home in the inner city? No. You know it's not. And ain't nobody going to want to live there, just like they don't want to dig wells. They don't want wells in certain communities because it decreases the value of your home. I don't care how much money you suck out of it. I don't care how many jobs it creates. But that's just where we are in life.
No, that's not where we are in life. You have a choice.
Yeah, you have a choice.
You're not making that choice.
I voted today. I had a choice.
Okay, and what number were you?
As far as voting?
Yes.
She hired out something, but I didn't pay attention to that.
But, I mean, approximately. Were you like 110?
I told you, I didn't really care. Once I got in there, I seen people I hadn't seen in a while, and I was talking to them, and she said something, and that was it. But I wasn't concerned about how many people
voted. Do you know how many people who are not voting today? Did you have to wait in line?
I didn't have to wait in line, no.
See, that's what
like
I'm saying.
Like I said before,
see,
the only thing is this, me. I can change this one person at a time. I can't worry about everybody else. All I got to do is worry about me. As long as I did my part, like some people say, well, if you don't vote, you shouldn't open up your mouth. Well, in the United States of America, you can open up your mouth and not even participate. So that's the country that we live in. That's this great country that when we wanted to have a voice, we couldn't have no voice. Now we got a voice. Now we got an action. Now we got a movement, and people don't like it. Now, you make me kind of feel like you think somebody strategically planned to uneducate African-Americans in this country. You really believe that?
I believe that there was a plan. And when I say African Americans, I believe initially it may have been for African Americans. Now it's just about an underclass. But the underclass has just to wake up. And our problem is we're not waking up. We're not doing anything about it.
I mean, there's nothing you can really do about it. I didn't write the playbook. All I can do is participate in it.
Then why?
You know, like,
not?
One guy always complained about Black history. Look, we didn't write it. When you got the opportunity right now to start writing Black history the way you see it, the way you heard about it and everything. If it hadn't been for some of the white history, we wouldn't have no records of our being at all. You know what I'm saying? We didn't write this book. We just had to participate in it. Sure, we know that we was in the first war, the second war, the third war, and we didn't get recognized because they didn't want to give us recognition because they know they wouldn't get the support and stuff. But now that has changed. All your basketball players, it's a rarity now with all the white basketball players you see today.
Pardon me?
Isn't that a rarity to you?
That you see white basketball players?
So many today.
No, it's not a rarity.
Why is that? Why?
Because white men can jump too.
Dun, 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 dun. That's right. But somebody told them they couldn't.
No.
Why can't white men jump?
White men can jump.
And white men is drawing people to these games because all of us, all by ourselves, we ain't drawing the people.
No, it's not about white and black and drawing to the game.
It's not?
No. No.
Well, I went to a soccer game and it was very
white.
Many of us there.
But there never is. I mean, when you go to a professional ball game, you're not going to find a whole bunch of black folks there now because we can't afford to go.
Da, 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 da. Now you got it.
So why can't we afford to go?
I guess because they don't want to. I'm not buying no Jordans. If I'm gonna advertise with Jordan, he's gonna pay me to advertise his shoes. Period.
That's how I feel. But this
that's
is my
I feel. I'm not advertising. I wear some Okies in a heartbeat, as long as they match my pants. I don't care. But people are just crazy that way. They gotta have brand name this, brand name that. I mean, hey, that's what they believe. Let them go for it. But like I said before, Tracy, that broad brush you're using, it ain't that bad. Believe me, it's not that bad.
Yes, it is.
And
no,
when it gets bad, we'd all go down
bad.
Together, or we'll all come up together.
It
school
is
system,
that bad.
All that stuff. Start all back over again. If it ain't going right, start all back over again.
Paul,
you're not able to fix it while it's on fire. Yes.
Paul, it is that bad. It is that bad. If your children, if you got more men in the penitentiary than you have in a home. It's that bad. If you have more kids walking down the street with their pants, busting a sag unemployed than you have employed, it's just that bad. If you're smoking too much reefer where you can't get in the trades, it is just that bad. We're going to have to wake up and smell the coffee and start taking responsibility. We need to come off the welfare and the SSI role. Even if you're able to walk around, go to the mall, then you're able to go get a job. We're going to have to go find and create places of work and not depend upon the government system for our supply. We've got to cut that out. If you're retarded, if you are mentally handicapped, if you cannot work, and yes, you need to be taken care of. If you are poor and you can't do, if you're elderly, you should be taken care of. But right now, we've got too many people on the government rolls that need to come out and become self-sufficient.
But this country, if this country says, just like right now, we didn't really have this problem about fracking, pollution, all this kind of stuff. If our government won't allow us to do these kind of things.
What do you mean won't allow you? What do you mean won't allow you?
Most companies are not going to spend all the money that it takes to make everything healthy when it enters back into the environment. You know it and I know it.
But you have to do it.
Huh? And then you want me to... Why do you want me to deny my check that I believe I'm entitled to just to prove a point? They're going to take the money and do something. They're going to buy a bullet. They're going to buy a gun with it. If these poor people get this money in the United States of America, they turn right around and give it right back to these little businesses to stay alive. So we just all filtering off one another. That's the system. You just got to get in the wheel. get in the wheel, and maybe it'll come around to you sometime. It'll come around to you sometime. You're going to have some highs and some lows. That's life.
Oh, sweetie, yes, darling. Listen.
What happened to all your boys today? Where's all your boys at?
They're out voting.
Yeah, right.
You know, today's Tuesday. Today is Jeff and I come in on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And Jeff is working for the Board of Elections. And I am here by myself. Because
that's good. I know they're working. I just left a bunch of retirees at the Board of Elections just sitting around looking. Ain't
that's
saying
all.
Nothing just getting that check. I've seen them already. That's what we do in this country. We make those jobs where you ain't got to do nothing.
Huh?
That's it.
And so that is what I'm saying. You understand where I'm coming from?
What's
so listen, Paul.
No. Get in the ball. Get on the ball. Get a
Paul.
Government job and you'll be all right.
No,
yes.
Paul. I don't want a government job.
Why not?
Because I don't want a government job.
You just took one.
I know that's an appointment, but I still have a job. I still got to go to work somewhere else. If a man don't work, you don't eat. You know that. Listen, I got to take my break. I have Dr. Hamid coming on with me after my break. Hang up the phone, Paul. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I've got him on the line. I'm going to take a really, really quick break. When I come back up, we're going to talk to him a little bit about terrorism, and he's going to tell you who he is, what he's about. He has written a book, and we want you to take a look at his book and hear what he has to say. And I'm very, very interested in it because you guys know that I'm not that prolific when it comes to – or proficient when it comes to terror and foreign policy. So I'm looking to hear what he has to say. So, again, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Dr. Hamid, I'll be with you right in just a moment, and we'll see you on the other side of my break.
4 hours of the best music in the world. Tune in Sundays from 1 till 4 p.m. for the Happy Polka Land Show. Sundays from 1 to 4 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. A local man is anonymously donating a burial plot for alleged Boston Marathon bomber Tamerlan Tsarnaev, whose relatives have been unable to find a place to bury his remains in Massachusetts. The donor says he will allow the remains to be buried at Crown Hill Burial Park in Vienna because, quote, it's the Christian thing to do. Officials evacuated about 350 students from Youngstown Community School after someone found a threat written on a bathroom wall. Youngstown police have not specified what was written on the wall, but they said the message warned of something taking place at about 2:45 p.m. at the school. And three food banks and six partner agencies in Ohio are getting hunger relief grants totaling $255,000. That's part of $3 million being distributed to organizations around the country by Feeding America through a Walmart initiative called Fighting Hunger Together. Walmart says the public voted online. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
There, I fixed it.
What is that?
It's our new entertainment center.
It's 2x4s and cinder blocks.
I'm going to post a picture. Go stand by it.
These DVDs are really wedged in here.
No, don't touch it.
For high-end solid wood products, trust the Amish craftsmanship of Weaver's Furniture. Custom orders are available. Just stop by the Weaver's Furniture Showroom at 4537 Gates Road, Middlefield, Ohio. For store hours and more, call Weaver's Furniture 440-693-4685.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Today is Election Day here in the Mahoning Valley in the state of Ohio. Please go out and vote. And those of you who are voting in the city of Youngstown, make sure you vote no on the charter amendment issue. It is a bad amendment. It is a bad, 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 bad piece of legislation. And any time that you can get Republicans and Democrats on the same page at the same time on the same issue, then you know it has to be pretty bad. So please make sure that you vote no on that issue. Dr. Hamid, how are you?
Fine. Great. Thanks.
Did I actually pronounce your name right?
Great. Perfect.
Oh, good going. Dr. Hamid, tell us who you are and tell us a little bit about what you do and your past.
I was actually born in Egypt in 1961 for a very secular family. My father was an orthopedic surgeon. He was secular and atheist, actually, to some extent, or agnostic. And my mother was liberal, a French teacher. I became a doctor later on, and in the medical school, I had such a desire to serve God and to serve religion, and I was used by the Jama'a Islamiyah, a radical Islamic group that existed in our medical school, who radicalized me for some period in my life, around 1.5 years. And during this period, I lived the experience of a jihadist who thought about doing jihad, going to Afghanistan to fight with the Mujahideen. It was a special form of experience where I went through certain brainwashing process, and I became very radical in my thoughts. And after that, it happened through certain situations that I didn't continue with them. I stood against them. This was 30 years ago, and I started a sort of reformation within the religion and fighting radicalism, and this was far before September 11th. And now I am here in the United States. I am at the Potomac Institute for Policy Studies, and I speak on different media. I authored the book, and I'm trying to fight radical Islam in different ways.
Explain to us, you know, because we have some really, yesterday we had some conversation here on the show, and the difference between radical Islam and Islam, and it is all Islam, are they all radicals in their faith and in what they believe?
No, actually, when you see the Islamic society, you can see different types of Muslims. You can have a cultural Muslim who just his name is Muhammad or Fatima. You have a ritual Muslim who does the five prayers and fasting of Ramadan. And these two stages are fine. They don't cause harm to others. But when you go deeper, you have a theological stage or level who believe in Sharia and implementing a rule such as stoning of women and beheading gays and all of these terrible things you see all over the world. Then you have radicals who try to force you on their belief system by force. Then you have the jihadists who explode themselves and do suicide bombers. You cannot just put all people in one basket. However, the passive attitude of many in the Muslim world has really created a lot of trouble, because many people see them as collaborating with the jihadists indirectly by being passive. And that is one of the problems we face. The radicals will not stop their evil until they see the majority in the Muslim world standing clearly and unambiguously against them. And unfortunately, this did not happen after September 11th. And up till now, there is some small movements now moving against the radicals, but I cannot say that it was something so strong to deter the radicals. And that's why the Muslim community need to wake up and to stand strongly against radicalism.
When you say that the Islamic people need to stand up against radical Islam, how can they do that when if you don't believe what they believe, then they will... You're just like an infidel also.
Yeah, I can see your point, and that is correct. But at some stage, the radicals were controlling the minds of the rest of the people, and many of the people, I called them passive terrorists at that time, because they did not really stand against these radicals. You can, if you are a majority, the radicals cannot kill everybody. And if people do not stand against this evil, then they shouldn't blame the West when they call Islam violent and evil and this stuff. So I think the Muslim world need to realize if they did not stand against the radicals, whatever risk they will have to do it, because you cannot just be silent when you see such evil. If we stayed silent against the Nazi, it would have killed every Jew in the world and many more in Europe from other innocent people. So I think at some stage in life, you should take a risk on your life for some good cause. I think that's how I see it. They shouldn't expect the world to tell them Islam is the religion of peace while they are silent against these radicals. So it's just an issue of number also. If we believe that, or some people believe that the majority are moderates, they have to show this clearly. They have to stand against them. And without doing this, we are into vicious cycle. The radicals have the green light from the majority of the population who do not stand against them, and the radicals will continue forever until they see that the majority of people are against them. Like the guy of Boston, for example. If the Muslim community rejected to bury him, that could be a good sign. But if they accepted burying him, then it's sending them a message that he is a Muslim, he's okay. So I think the problem could be solved only when the majority of the Muslim world have a clear stand against radicalism, and I mean here not necessarily terrorism or not only terrorism, but also killing the apostates, beating women, stoning women to death for adultery, declaring jihad to spread the religion. All these values are standard in the mainstream teaching of Islam, which needs reformation, needs new interpretations, needs new ways of thinking, because radicalism can develop partially because of the thinking process as well. So it's big dilemma we deal here with 1.5 billion population, and I think the internet is helping to get some voices out, because now I can put my voice on the internet and the radicals cannot reach me. In the past, when I stood against them 30 years ago, my life was directly threatened by them. But now when I put things on the internet to fight them ideologically, they can't reach me. It's not that easy anymore. So I think the internet can help, hopefully, create a vehicle for many reformers to start speaking out and make some change.
You have a book online, and your book online is actually talks about understanding radical Islam.
Yes.
And it's very academic.
No, it's called Inside Jihad. Inside Jihad.
No.
The name of the book.
Okay, I'm looking at a collective work of Tawfiq Hamid, Observations of Radicalized Islam.
Yeah, that is another thing. There is a book called Inside Jihad, and there is collective work of some op-eds in a couple of years that talks about the topic, and it's available on my website, TawfiqHamid.com. Both of them are available.
And when I'm looking at this, it's very academic, so it's very, very elementary. It actually breaks down the different sects. It breaks down the glossary terms of what we hear.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of buzzwords, but a lot of time we really don't understand what we're saying and what we're talking about.
It's relatively academic, and maybe if people are not used to this jargon, they may need some explanation for the jargon used, because if you are not aware of the word jihad, for example, you will not understand what does it mean and what does it imply. But that's why the book, the other book, which is Inside Jihad, Understanding and Confronting Radical Islam, may clarify this jargon and may be easier for many to read. It's also available both on Amazon and also online, available freely, actually, on the Potomac Institute for Policy Studies website. If they went there and they write Inside Jihad PDF file, they will find it available. They can read it, actually, on the internet if they want.
When I got the press release, it says that you believe there are lessons from Boston, and it says the problem of radicalism is much bigger than we expect. Explain that a little bit to me. Explain that to me
absolutely.
A little bit, why you think that what's going on in Boston, we think that things go away and they don't.
Absolutely. Number one, the real war here is the success of the experiment. The experiment was not so sophisticated, as you know. It's all what it needed is just a pressure pot and a timer and some fireworks, and this is easy accessible to many people. And the success of this experiment can tell us that if the radicals started to use this simple tactic against us in different soft areas, like at the Christmas time, they can ruin a lot of things that we do. They can affect the economy. They can do it in movies or in stadiums. So my real worry is that it's not a sort of a terrorist act that needs a lot of sophistication, or like September 11th, or preparation for years. It's a simple process that if the radicals manage to use it against us here in America, we will face a real problem here, because at the end it showed also the failure to address the problem effectively. We have been fighting terrorism for 10 years, and still we are suffering from it. We did not end the problem despite the trillions of dollars that have been spent. I think there is something missing here, which is the failure to address the educational, ideological, and psychological components of the problem. Without addressing this issue, without fighting terrorism in what I call Brainistan, not just Pakistan and Afghanistan, in Brainistan, in the brain, in the mind war, if we do not know how to do this effectively, then the problem will only grow, especially the technology develops. If you have the desire to kill and destroy, and you are unable to do much about it, there are ways to solve it, but I'm saying they are not used this way effectively up till now. If the desire to kill and destroy exists, and all what you need is more sophisticated weapons, which in the next few years you can have more lethal weapons and easily accessible to the hand of these jihadists, and then they can give us very hard time, even by raising rumors that they will get to an explosion on the night of the Christmas in Manhattan, for example. Then they can ruin the night. They can cause a lot of trouble. So that is what worries me. It's bigger than that. It's an evidence of success of the terrorists to infiltrate the system, to create a bomb that causes a lot of damage and has huge impact with minimal resources. This success of the experiment is very worrying and is indicative that the radicals can really use the same tactic at a bigger scale later on in the future.
When I look at the war on terror, when I look at the word terror, it means fear.
It means what,
and fear, to be afraid. And
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question from the start?
I said when I look at the word terror, it means to live in fear.
Yeah.
And I tend to think that America is really playing into this, because we're really working on living in fear right now. I mean, we are. If you go to the airport, everyone is afraid.
Yes. Yeah.
And their goal is to terrorize us to where our way of life changes, where we lose all of our freedoms. And we, if we want to be honest about it, we are losing our freedoms with every incident, even if it's domestic terrorism.
Yeah, that is the problem. That some people think that we will not change the way of our life. In fact, we already have changed the way of our life. I do agree with you, but the aim of the terrorists is not simply just to make you lose this freedom. Their aim is something else. Their aim is something could be very primitive for in the view of many, but it's just to raise the banner of Islam, to feel victorious. And also, as long as there is no negative reinforcement for these radicals, I mean here by negative reinforcement that you don't give them a punishment that can work in their mind, then they have no problems with doing it again. For example, this time in Boston, if you noticed, we got the criminals, the terrorists, because we knew who they are on camera. Imagine if they were wearing the burqa, this black Islamic dress that covers the face and the eyes. How could we know who they are then? So if we allowed the burqa, if we did not stand against it, then they will have no negative reinforcement. It's very painful for them if the outcome of their attack was, okay, America will follow France's path and will ban the burqa on the streets. If America didn't do this, Then the next attack, they were Borkoa, they did the attack, they went to other place, another attack, third attack, they are in the Borkoa, which is this black cover that covers the face. Then you will never know who did it, and they can do and repeat it here and there and there. So what I'm saying here is now our situation could be a legal issue here in fighting terrorism. If we continued to allow something like the Borkoa, then we shouldn't. Then we should not expect anything, but they will feel happy because they attack us. There is no negative reinforcement. You did not really touch the most one of the most important things in their mind, that women wear the hijab and the burqa, and they will do it again and again, and we will not know who is the terrorist. This time they knew that we recognized them because their face was exposed. Next time they will do it in burqa. And let me see what camera will get the face behind the burqa.
Wow. Never thought about that. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. If you want to call in and you have a question for my guest. So do you think that we should that burqa should be outlawed?
Yes, certainly, like France. Ah. But that is not enough. Like, I mean, this has to be coupled with other things as well. But certainly my answer is yes, I do.
Wow. Now, you're Islamic,
yeah,
am I correct?
Tough. Look, it is tough, but let me tell you a very clear thing that I wrote in a recent op-ed. Those who are in a position to ban the burqa and refuse to do so because of political correctness or whatever reason is, if another attack happened because people were hiding behind the burqa, okay, and then this official should be held responsible for the next attack if they refuse to issue a ban for the burqa. And
but
because
no.
of their refusal, another attack happened, and we couldn't get the terrorists, and they continued doing other terror acts wearing the burqa, then the officials who refused to take an action against it must be held accountable for this decision of not banning the burqa.
Now this is where I, you know, and I am a Christian.
Yeah.
And I look at this, and if we ban the burqa,
yeah,
then we can ban the cross. If we ban let me put it this way. If we ban the burqa, then we can ban a hoodie.
No, because you ban, for security reasons, anything that covers the face and allow a person to do a crime and get along with it without being known.
But that's a religious belief that they were, and whether I don't agree with the burqa. But if you want to cover up with the burqa and that's your religious belief that you have to, that a woman has to wear a burqa. I saw a woman not too long ago and she was covered from, and it was a hot day.
Okay.
And she was covered from the top of her head to her feet in this burqa. And I said, wow.
Great. If my religious belief tells me to stone women till death for adultery, will you allow this in the U.S.? Yes or no?
No, I won't allow that.
Then you can stand against religious beliefs for security reasons, for respect of the Constitution. I think there is a difference here between a religious belief that does not carry threat to others, like wearing a cross, and a religious belief that contradicts the Constitution and carries threat to other people. This is hugely different thing. They look the same, religious beliefs. But if my religious belief is to exploit people because of jihad, for example, you know jihad, holy
yeah.
war, will you allow this or will you stand against my religious beliefs? You will stand against it. Then you have to distinguish between two types of religious beliefs. Those beliefs who does not carry or who do not carry risk for the security of others, and those beliefs who seriously carry a security threat for the other people, including the burqa here.
That would be
different
so
from
difficult.
I didn't say the hijab. Let me clarify. The hijab is an Islamic dress code. The face is exposed. You can have a camera. If she did a crime, she can be recognized. It's like the cross. You allow the hijab, you allow the cross. But the burqa is something completely different. I'm not saying you ban it only for Muslims. If anyone wants to wear a burqa for any reason, it shouldn't be allowed because he can do many crimes and will not be able to do who did it. And they can repeat the crime then. Like if those Boston people were not recognized by faith, we failed to get them, and accordingly they went to New York City and they did another explosion. Then we can pay a heavy price.
Yeah, I mean that's a heavy price. I'm very, very protective of the Constitution. And even in my own, because if I start banning one thing for one person or one religious group, even if I disagree with them, you know. Then I have to have the same leeway for
it's
others.
It's not a religious issue. It's a security factor. You didn't stop them from doing the five prayers or fasting Ramadan. We are talking about very specific issue that relates to the security of the U.S. The first job of any constitution of the president is to save or protect the life of people. This is number one priority. So I think that is different. I'm not talking about five prayers to ban the five prayers to ban the religion or to ban the fasting in Ramadan or the hijab. No, a hijab is allowed the face to be exposed. But I'm talking about specific issue that, and as I mentioned to you, is it my religious freedom to stone women to death or to kill gays? Is it my religious freedom if this is my religious principles? Will you allow me to practice it? Ask yourself the question. That's how we should think. We have to distinguish here between the religious values that does not carry threat for others and the values that carry specific threat for the community.
Now, I have a question for you that came in from my chat line, and they want to know if you see any connection between the shape of the date of 9/11, 9/11, and the shape of the word Allah written in Arabic. In the selection
of
the holy war against America.
Yeah, the word Allah has three letters that looks like 1/1, and also the line of the 9 in Arabic. Yes, there is some similarity, but I don't think they thought that way. It just happened as coincidence, I believe so. I don't think it was just planned for this. I live the experiences of jihadists, and I can tell you, I don't think they thought about this much.
Now, you have studied under jihadists from your background, militant jihadists, to be perfectly honest. How did you come out? Why did you come out?
First of all, I started to feel that what they are teaching me contradicts some values in the Quran itself. Like, for example, the Quran didn't preach the killing of the apostates, and the Quran didn't preach stoning of women. Then they taught this to me, and I realized there is contradiction here. So I started to question. But the straw that broke the camel's back was that when they asked me to share with them in kidnapping a police officer and burying the man alive, and this was for me unbearable, far beyond my human conscience to accept. So there was a moment when they asked me to practice the theoretical violence and to put it into reality. And this was for my human conscience. I really couldn't do it. And this was the first moment when I started really to revolt against them. And I started to think, critical thinking helped me to get out of it. And it went like this gradually until I changed a lot from that time.
He has a book called Inside Jihad. You can find it on WMD Newsmax. You can find it on Amazon.com. And his name is Tawfiq, T-A-W-F-I-K, Tawfiq?
T-A-W-F-I-K, yes.
Tawfiq Hamid.
H-A-M-I-D.
Say that again?
H-A-M-I-D. If you wrote Dr. Hamid and Radical Islam, they will find the links immediately.
Okay, and so you can find his book on there. Then he also has a new e-book that you can download, Understanding Radical Islam, which is very, very interesting. How do we – will we ever get past this? Because if you look at people's belief systems, they don't – we don't – I mean, if you really think about this, it's what I believe. And, you know, how do you change one's core belief if by trying to change a Christian into believing, you know, anything out of what they believe? So how do you change an Islamic or an Orthodox, or should I say a radical Islamic?
There are two ways here. One is by working on the process of thinking that creates radicalism. Radicals have specific way of thinking that need to be fought by education, by the media. This is on one hand. On the other hand, the human behavior or human behavior is affected not only by the religious text or itself, but by the interpretation of it. So by offering the Muslim community different ways of interpretation, significant change can happen here. And I think by trying to focus on the human behavior rather than your belief is fundamental. If I told you, show me your belief with your actions or your deeds, if this is the focus, then people start to realize that whatever belief system they have, if their fruit is evil, then the people will judge the religion as evil. There are ways, different ways, really, to do it. I'm just giving you here just the smell of the wine, here, the general principle of working at the thinking, the process level, by fighting absolutism, by encouraging thinking in relativism, and this can be done via specific educational techniques and the use of the media. And I think most of the work has to be in the mind, as I mentioned to you earlier.
Well, listen, I want to thank you for being a guest on here today.
My pleasure.
It's an honor to have you on, and I appreciate you. Hopefully you'll come back and hang out with me again.
Anytime. You are more
okay.
than welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks
a lot.
Bye-bye.
Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I'm going to take a break. It's going to be open mic for the rest of the day. We'll go into this a little bit more. If you want to ask some questions of me of what I've learned today and where I found him, I'll be glad to do that. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
News Talk 600 is working to help put our valley back to work. We've come together with local employers and training centers to connect job seekers with potential new openings and new careers. Visit our website and click on Features. That's where you'll find links to local companies and training centers, and you can even submit your resume right online. Putting our valley and America back to work. Visit 600WSOM.com.
Mom, I had the best dream.
Well, good morning to you, too.
Okay, so I was a knight. I had a sword, and our house was a castle. There was this angry dragon. It was kind of scary.
Oh, yeah?
But I protected the castle.
Oh, that's my brave little man. I'm glad our castle is safe.
Your home is your castle, and sometimes you need help defending it. The National Association of Realtors supports maintaining homeowner tax incentives because they make home ownership more affordable for more families. Learn more at HouseLogic.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com.
Want to pay less for fuel? A lot less? It's easy with Shell and the Fuel Rewards Network program. Just shop for practically anything through fuelrewards.com or dine at participating restaurants to earn rewards. Then save at participating Shell stations. Sign up free at fuelrewards.com.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, feel the power behind the available EcoBoost engine in the 2013 Ford Escape. Now you can lease a new fuel-efficient Escape for just $199 a month. Visit drive1ohio.com.
Never play leapfrog with a unicorn. Never run with scissors unless you're a tardy barber. Never wear a fanny pack. No, really, don't ever wear a fanny pack. And never trust a car that hasn't been trusted to Midas. Save on brakes, tires, maintenance, and total car care for a car you can depend on long after the warranty expires. You deserve the Midas touch. Get a comprehensive oil change, tire rotation, and visual brake check for $21.99. Up to 5 quarts conventional oil. Shop fees extra. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
Liberals were dominant in the House and Senate and remained so until 1994. Conservatism seemed like a lost movement. Reagan didn't give up. Reagan didn't turn on America. He made the case, came up with an agenda, and met the needs of his time. He won people over.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
Now, when liberals use the Bible and Christianity to advance their progressive ends, well, the mainstream media agrees with them. For them, it's just, oh, yeah, I agree with that. When a conservative uses the Bible and Christianity to advance a conservative point, they hyperventilate in the media. They're warning of a coming theocracy in America.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends. I want to thank my guest for calling in and hanging out with me today. His name is Tarwak. Tarwak. I'm going to slaughter his name. Tarwak. Tawfik. T-A-W-F-I-K. His last name is Hamid. H-A-M-I-D. And he has written a book called Inside Jihad. Very, very interesting read. Very, very simple read. He's got an e-book online if you go to his first and last name.com. You can download it at no charge. And I wanted to bring someone on, that we don't always bring people on that have the same view. And he said he's a Muslim by faith, Christian by spirit, and a Jew by heart. And although, above all, he is a human being. And if you heard him say, and I was like, wow, I wasn't expecting that we should take out the, we should ban burqas. And I have, I'm a constitutionalist, and I'm finding out I'm more and more of a constitutionalist as I dig deeper into this, because I disagree with burqas. I don't think anybody should cover up. But if you erode the rights of one, you erode the rights of all, and I don't think that's a good idea. Now, you guys might want to call in and disagree with me, but I don't think so. And I want to ask you guys, what do you think we ought to do about this guy's body? Should we bury him, or, I don't know why they just don't, what?
Why can't they incinerate him? You know, burn him. You know what they call it, cremation. Then you don't have to worry about a burial plot. I mean, you've already messed up the Islamic belief by holding him out more than 24 hours. Hey, South Carolina, how are you, honey?
I'm doing pretty good. I was listening online there, but I don't see the point in banning burkas, right? That is not a good thing.
I mean, I understand the banned burqa because you can't see behind the burqa. So if I decide to go and take a bomb and place it under the burqa and then drop it, then you don't see the face. But still, banning the burqa, which means you can ban a cross and you can ban a hoodie. I got an issue.
Yep. I have an issue with that. I have a real issue with that.
I got an issue with that. That's gone too far, I think.
Yeah, because that's that slippery slope. And you're right. They're saying they're going to be banning hoodies.
I think we ought to take off the hoodies when we go on the bank, and I don't think we ought to ride around in a black hoodie at night. But once you start eroding one of your freedoms, and we see it happening, I mean, we really, really see the erosion of the freedoms of America.
Well, what's crazy is down here, you got a set of individuals in the South Carolina House that want to ban junk food in the governor's mansion. Several weeks ago, they wanted to ban people from buying junk food with the food stamps. There was a discussion on that in the state house, and I'm like, come on, folks, there's got to be more pressing things than worried about Susie so-and-so is buying a honey bun with her food stamps.
Now, don't get me wrong. Now that's where you and I differ. I think we ought to have it to where you can only buy certain things with your food card. Because, I got major problem with people going through buying a case of Red Bull, but you can't buy toilet paper. I think toilet paper is a necessity, and we need to put that where you can put toilet paper on there. But you can't buy Red Bull. Red Bull and energy drinks should not be bought on the food card.
I mean, well, there's that slippery slope.
That ain't a slippery slope. You're using taxpayer money to buy it.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with you buying it. See, I have a problem, even with Bloomberg, I don't have a problem with you buying what you want to buy when you want to buy it, but I do have a problem with me paying for what you're buying and it's not good for you. See, Bloomberg wants to stop me from buying it with my own money. That's where I have a problem. But if you're using an EMT card, then, I can distinguish what you buy and what you don't buy. And if you don't like it, then don't use the card. See, that's what you get when you depend upon the system.
Well, you depend on the system. You're at mercy to the system. So, therefore, if that's the life you live, you're going to have to deal with those. You're right.
That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if I'm paying for it, then I can control what you buy. I can control what you live, and I control what you do. But see, when you're free, you can go where you choose. And we need to stop making the free card like the non-free card.
Right.
Because we make people too comfortable on the free card. See, that card is only supposed to sustain you. It's not supposed to give you luxuries of life.
That's true.
And that's just my personal opinion. But I feel the same thing about, I think child support ought to be that money should go towards the child and towards the welfare of the child. But you shouldn't be paying for your boyfriend's Cadillac, too.
Yeah. When they made those funds available, just you can buy whatever you want to with them, they're creating a monster. They really did.
They did. And so, if I'm paying, if the state's paying for it, then the state dictates. But then, like I said, Red Bull is not a necessity when toilet paper is, but you can't buy toilet paper because you can buy Red Bull. That doesn't make sense to me.
No, you're right. It doesn't make any sense. It does not.
And we got people running around here buying Red Bull and energy drinks and 5-hour energy drinks and all that kind of stuff and going out and selling. You buy a case of Red Bull at the grocery store, and you can go sell it to a bar for for more money than you pay for. Because, you know, they take Red Bull now, they mix it with vodka, and they call it a Buller Maker or something. They call it a something. Now I forgot what it's called.
Well, it's a butt. It's a gut buster is what it is. You drink
or Speedball or something. They do something with it. But it's not nutritious, nor should it be for children, that's not a necessity. And that EMT card should be for necessities, for your livelihood, not for your luxury.
Right.
But if you go get a job, you ought to be able to buy, if you want to buy a soda drink that's 72 ounces, that's your business.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you start doing that, people will start to rebel and therefore to have a desire to get off the system so they can do whatever they want to. It's kind of like living in their mama house.
That's what I'm saying.
You can't do but a certain amount of stuff. So
that's what I'm saying. When you get too grown to go by your mama's rules, then you get out your mama's house. That's how the public system should be. It should not be a place where you get in there and get so comfortable that you never want to leave. It's supposed to be a stopgap. I'm serious. It's supposed to be a stopgap. It ain't supposed to be a stay-all.
Yeah, you got that right. I don't know if I saw it on a show or somebody was saying it. But he was saying, you know, because they had a 28-year-old at the house that would not leave. And so what she told him to do is start walking around the house naked. Failure to Launch. The Matthew McConaughey.
Yes. There's a movie.
Yep.
We want you to move. After a while, you should want your kids to move. I know you love them and they're great, but they should be moving out your house. It's the same thing with the public assistance system. You should never be so comfortable on it that you stay longer than you have to.
I have a hard time understanding that. I mean,
I don't.
You know,
Have you seen the disposable income?
Disposable income.
Have you seen the disposable income when you're on public assistance? They have more disposable income, a lot of them, than people who are working every day. You get a paycheck on Friday, it's gone on Saturday.
Yeah.
But see, if you're on public assistance, you got a family of four, you can go and you get reduced heating, you get reduced water, reduced lights, reduced rent. And you get an EMT card. Some people have more on their EMT card or their food card than most people can have with two jobs.
Mm. That is crazy.
We make things too luxurious. It doesn't make you want to come off. That's
awful. What happens? When that person stays on there a long period of time, and just like when they did welfare to work, the government says you're going to have to come off of it.
Who's coming off?
Hmm?
I ain't taking nobody off. What do you mean take them off?
Yeah, why not?
Listen, we're watching. It's too luxurious. I mean, it's like SSI. You know, SSI, you would think you're on there, and yes, people need it. Don't get me wrong. But just because you have a problem doesn't mean you cannot work. You may not be able to work in a packing place or a full labor place, but that doesn't mean you can't go to school and learn another craft and go back to work doing something else.
Mm.
I mean, does that make sense?
No.
I mean, we tell people, well, you're on full disability because you've got a back problem. Okay, you got a back problem, but does that mean you can no longer function in your brain? So you can
no.
you can go and teach. You can go to school and become a teacher now, or a teacher's aide.
Well,
after
they start feeding you to all those meds, you get them for free. Yeah, your brain might not function so well.
I mean, we're making people completely so dependent upon the system to where we can't afford to pay them, they can't afford to come off, and life goes on, and it just doesn't make sense anymore.
Do you know anyone that's come off of the system?
No. I mean, off of welfare?
Yeah.
Yes. Now, when they had the welfare reform back with Bill Clinton, there are a lot of people that came off. And they're doing very, very well today.
Yeah, they came off the system, and they're saying that they didn't like that. They felt a lot better after they came off the system.
Absolutely, but the problem is they didn't teach their kids to not go on the system.
Yeah,
I mean, we have to teach people that the foundation of life that you do not build your life foundation on getting on public assistance, but then we reward people for being on public assistance. You know, young lady, she gets pregnant while she's in school. They take her down to Job and Family Services. She gets on assistance. With that, opens up the whole completely door of educational pathway, child support, and an alternative means of income. Instead of saying, listen, stay in school, get a good education, and we'll assist you through the process as long as you're not pregnant. Because, see, if you don't have any children, you get very, very little assistance. But it's like unemployment. Unemployment makes you just stagnant because it doesn't supplement your income. It just throws you into a black hole and sucks you up. And by the time you come off, your credit is so bad you can't function. It is true. Hey, 347, your mic is on. Oh. Hello? South Carolina, you back?
Yeah, I'm back. I don't know what happened.
you jumped out and jumped back in.
Went down. Yeah, my cell phone just poof.
But I don't think we understand what we're in. And this cause is causing us, and Bill just put it in the chat room, you know, it's a new form of slavery.
Oh, yeah. Very much so. Very much so. You can control them from the cradle to the grave. I mean, if you think about it, you get on Medicaid and food stamps, you know, you live that whole life for women that particularly grow up, and the whole time you're growing up via 15, you're on Medicaid, get pregnant, have a baby, and you move out and you get on Medicaid and Medicare and food stamps and live on the system the whole entire life. I know somebody like that, Tracy.
It's not hard.
Everyone faces.
It's not hard at all, and I don't think we understand how hard it is not. It's not hard to become beholden to the system. And even, like I said today, today's election day in our area. And it's so light today. It's a sad state of affairs. It's a day of mourning.
You mean 99% of the voters are not going out to vote today?
Right. So since you don't have you don't have all this emotional push to get you to the polls, you're not there. Hey, Alex, your mic is on.
Good afternoon, Tracy.
Hey, good afternoon, Alex.
In South Carolina, I think I heard you out there too. How you doing?
Okay.
You know, you're talking about welfare and things like that. You know, I don't like when conversations stop at just social programs because I believe that if folks actually counted all of the welfare, including corporate welfare, you'll see that companies get more. They're getting way more benefits than. Than the individuals are that go into these social programs, I believe. So, you know, we need to cut out all forms of welfare. You know, all these subsidies by the by the government, which actually, you know, it actually causes problems. Like, it has unintended consequences on our economy and even our health. You know, because for instance, like when the government subsidizes corn, the corn industry, and so now companies like Monsanto has all this money to lobby Congress and all this stuff, and so now we have corn and everything, and now we have high fructose corn syrup and everything, and now we find out, it's one of the major contributors to diabetes. It cuts off certain receptors in your brain and certain hormones to tell you that you're full. I mean, all kinds of things, and we're finding all these issues, all because the government won't let the free market do what it do. So I believe that, you know, we need to cut it all out. You know, the social and social programs and corporate. But you know, I have a suggestion of the way to minimize the time that people are on government assistance. You want to hear it?
Uh-oh. Go ahead, Al.
If you are accepting any form of government assistance, then I think that you should not be able to vote.
Huh?
You should not be able to vote. If you're receiving assistance, for example, like all a politician has to do is come out and promise you more benefits, whether it's corporate benefits. And if you're receiving any kind of government assistance, you're not allowed to donate to any politician's campaigns, or you're not allowed to participate at all.
He's saying. So, Alex, you're saying that it's a conflict of interest, right?
Yes, it is. Because think about it. If you're already getting some kind of subsidy or special treatment from the government, you're going to vote for whatever guy is going to keep that cash cow or keep that that water flowing. And it's as simple as that. And so that's what I think. If you do that, if you say, well, if you're getting any kind of, you may have to categorize and put them in classes or whatever. If you're getting, class A, B, and C assistance from the government, you cannot vote. You cannot participate in government at all. You're not. It's a felony to contribute to any campaign. And there's probably other things that you can do. But I think that's the way that you. I think that's the way that you do it, because it'll make people and businesses become more self-sufficient, and because then really their lives will be dictated by the people who aren't on assistance. Because those would be the only people who are allowed to participate in public policy and determining public policy.
But Alex, now look at this. I think that erodes the Constitution even more.
No, it doesn't. It's completely constitutional.
In what way?
It's not constitutional to do that.
If you say you can't vote, heck, they're not voting anyhow.
Well, so see, what? But you can also. I mean, if you need to, you could amend it. But the Constitution already allows for withholding of civil rights, like voting, if a person is a felon or if they have serious indebtedness. Now, so if you are on public assistance, then wouldn't you consider that a public indebtedness?
No.
So then, yes, I think.
No.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
207, your mic is on. No. Yeah, 207.
Yeah, Trey.
Hey, Reg.
Yeah, how you doing? Hey, I'm
good.
I just kind of turned in. I just kind of caught this right here, but to the gentleman, I really think that's ridiculous. I mean, you're taking. You're just saying you're putting everybody, as they say, in a group. I mean, what about the children and stuff that has nothing to do with the fact? should they suffer or sacrifice them eating and stuff because of the fact that you feel that everybody is freeloading on this system? I mean, that's ludicrous, man.
But this is what I'm saying. Wait a minute, let me just say this, Tracy.
I don't even know if I can even sit and even listen to someone, Tracy, not nothing against you, someone that will make a statement
let me finish what I'm saying.
Jeez,
we got to understand. This is what I'm saying. And Alex, I think he went too far. Alex, you just gone off a cliff. But let me say it this way. I have problem with people who see corporate welfare and personal welfare are different and yet the same. But if you take people off of the personal welfare and stop making them be so beholden on the system, they will be able to become independent thinkers and they will take the corporations off the welfare.
Right. Now I can agree with that.
Let me finish, Rich. What happens with what's going on right now is we have conditioned people to become so complacent where they are and so comfortable where they are that we are turning them into zombies to where they don't care what happens to the corporations as long as you give them crumbs from the table, and they don't realize the crumbs are actually deadening their thinking ability.
Well, so you know what, Tracy? Let me say this right quick. I think what your statement that you made has some legitimate point on that. I mean, people do abuse the system. I dare not be the one to say that they don't. That would be just ridiculous to say that. But like I said again, it all goes back to the fact that, you know, I mean, sometimes situations occur and stuff. The basic problem is the fact that people abuse it. When we're able to kind of single out and source the ones that's not doing right by it, you know, from the ones that are trying to make it the best they can until they can do better, then we'll be better off. I mean,
hold on, Brad. But listen, think this process through, and I got to take my break. But you got to listen. This is the issue. There are people who need legitimate assistance from time to time.
Right.
And with that assistance, we need to be able to help them through the process and off the system. The system makes us too comfortable inside the system, so I never want to get off. And when I say never want to get off, I want to get off, but we make you too lazy. Because actually, if you look at with a person who lays in a bed, if they're ill for too long,
mm-hmm.
if you lay in bed too long, it zaps all your strength. And when it zaps all your strength, it makes you to where you can no longer stand on your own two feet without going to rehab.
Right. You're absolutely right.
And what they're
right.
doing is the system is making us so complacent and so comfortable that we do not get up, so we can't stand on our own two feet. And because of that, we don't understand that today's election day and I need to go out and vote for a new mayor because he's going to touch my everyday life, and so I stay at home. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600.
Fit Family.
Hello.
Hey, Sal.
Yeah, we got an election going on down here.
You say what?
We got an election down here for our first district congressman.
Oh, yeah. You
voted? Some stock. No, it's in District 1, which is in Charleston.
Oh, okay. You going to vote?
No. Mm-mm.
No.
That's a totally different district.
Mm-hmm. So you think I went too far with the welfare, denying people the right to vote and participate in government if they're on public assistance?
No, that's a good idea. I mean, people have a fit, but it does create a conflict of interest.
I think it does. I mean, because it makes no sense that a company like Monsanto gets a hundred, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars of subsidies and just benefits from the federal government, but then they can turn around and lobby the FDA and push farmers. They've pushed a lot of black farmers out of business, and smaller agricultural companies, and just lobby the government in general, and now they got that Monsanto Protection Act that just passed because they're able to lobby the government with the money that they were getting from the government in the first place.
What do you mean Monsanto Protection Act?
Oh, Obama just signed it, I think, last month. You got to look. They attached it to another bill, and they did it while something else was going on. That's what they always do. It wasn't the Boston bombing, but something before that, they passed it right at the same time, so that so people weren't really paying attention to it. But basically, it protects Monsanto from being sued from any adverse effects from the genetically modified food that they're selling, because people are coming up sick and all kinds of things are showing up, organ failure and all this stuff people are demonstrating because of genetically modified corn and different things like that. But that was signed in law last month by Obama. But yeah, I mean, and I think, but that's
there. It is.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, are you you're looking for it?
Yeah, HR 933, which exempts biotech companies from litigation in regards to making, selling, or distributing genetically engineered seeds or plants. What in the hell?
Yeah. Yeah. See, and this is what I'm talking about, you know. So now you got a company, and this happens all the time. Like look at GE. Last year, they paid virtually no, like GE and Facebook, they paid virtually not Facebook. Facebook did pay some corporate tax, but they got hundreds of millions of dollars of benefits. GE barely paid any. And so, you know, now, and then they turn right around to go and get, and with the money that they save, they to lobby government to go get benefits from, you know, with that money.
Let me get this straight. The environmental president just did something.
Yep. Yeah. You ain't even got it yet.
Dude,
I already get it.
This is why I loathe a politician. I mean, I've said it before, politicians, if they're not trying to kiss your baby, they're trying to steal your baby's candy.
Yeah.
That's just crazy, man. And he's fine.
Yeah, he did. He did. So, it's just, it's crazy. So I might have to beat that horse a little bit more when we get on the air with Tracy again.
Yeah, I think so too. Because I'm looking at the bill, and basically what it does is it makes Monsanto a government entity now.
Exactly.
They're a branch of government.
And that's fascism. You know.
Wow. That takes a set of cojones to do that, man.
Yeah, but you can do that. That's what people are going to do. Just think about it. If you're getting some kind of special favor from the government, aren't you going to make sure that you keep getting those favors? Whether it's social welfare or corporate welfare, you're going to do whatever you can to, you know, keep that water flowing. You know, you're going to lobby Congress. You're going to lobby Congress. You're going to, you know, vote. You're going to encourage your employees to vote a certain way. You're going to, you know, just all kinds of things.
And I'm looking online here, Alex, and you know what? This thing has not been carried in any of the major news media. Nobody. The Guardian picked it up over in the UK.
945-5229. What are you guys talking about in the chat room?
Oh, wow, Tracy.
Yeah. So what I was telling South, you know, I gotta beat this horse again with you. You know, because
all right, beat
I
the
think because you know, I think it's very important to understand that if it's a person or a corporate entity, if they're getting any kind of special favor from the government, they're going to do whatever's in their power to make sure that they continue to get those benefits. And so whether it's voting a certain way or lobbying Congress or whatever, and so what happens is companies, they're getting certain subsidies, like say Monsanto we were just talking about Monsanto, South Carolina. Like,
yeah.
Monsanto gets hundreds of millions of dollars, at least tens of millions of dollars a year, and some years hundreds of millions of benefits from the federal government. And then they turn around with that money to lobby Congress, the FDA, and different things like that. And a prime example is just, I think it was last month, the Monsanto Protection Act was just signed into Congress, signed by President Obama, which basically exempted them from being sued from any adverse effects that may occur from their genetically modified foods, that they seeds and plants that's in virtually all of our food. And see, this is what happens. You know, this is on a very large scale, but it's the same thing on a small scale, whether it's with an individual too. They're going to vote that way. That's going to be a conflict of interest. It is a moral hazard, and we need to look at. You should look at the Monsanto Protection Act. I mean, it's just completely and utterly repulsive. It's disgusting.
This happens all the time
across the board, because people get benefits from the government, and then we allow them to participate in the government to continue getting those benefits.
But, Alex, this is the problem. This is the problem in a nutshell. The difference between Monsanto and Tracy is Monsanto has 1,500 workers who do not receive government benefits independently. And because I do not receive government benefits independently, I can still go and find a back door and a loophole to lobby people. Because I still can give campaign contributions through my party or through the political party or through my own personal pocketbook to engage the process.
Anytime you make a donation, though, at least I was asked every time, they always ask you, who is your employer? And so if you lie on there, it's a felony,
it's a felony. But what I'm saying is you can't stop me because I work for Monsanto from contributing to your campaign.
You can't
because
stop anybody from doing anything, though.
No, listen to what I'm saying. What's going to happen is if I give to you as an independent person from Tracy Winbush and I work for Monsanto, you can't tell me that I can't engage in the political process because I work for Monsanto. But if you tell me as Tracy Winbush because I'm on welfare that I can't engage in the political process because it's something totally different, you take away my complete vote. See, you don't take away the vote of Monsanto, but you take away the vote of me. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I'm not saying that you take away the vote of employees of Monsanto, but Monsanto.
That's what I'm saying.
But I'm not saying that at all. But because employees, they're just working. It's just a job for them. But
that's
Monsanto,
true.
Monsanto, the entity, should not be able to turn around after getting millions, hundreds of millions of dollars of benefits from the federal government, turn around and then lobby Congress with the same money that they just received in benefits.
But see, I'm not lobbying Congress as Monsanto. I'm lobbying Congress as Tracy. But see, me as a welfare recipient, you can't take away my right to vote because I receive public assistance.
I think you can.
Because
it's a conflict
of
interest.
I understand what you're – but do you understand the difference between the two?
Yeah,
I
do. But the principle is still the same. I mean, the only difference is scale.
But the problem is my violation, I won't have a word to say. Now, I have a problem with people who are not property owners voting for taxes.
Okay.
I have a problem with that.
I've been looking at this thing, and I am just absolutely I'm scratching my head here with what they've done with this bill. you know, from Monsanto. They put it, it was a rider on another bill, okay, it was signed into law, and it basically treats Monsanto now as if it were a government entity.
Correct.
You know, if people talk about you can't sue the federal government, well, this is what they've done. If your baby eats some cream corn made from genetically modified foods, from genetically modified cheese by Monsanto, and your baby starts to grow a third eye or a third nipple or six toes, you can't do anything about it. Look,
correct.
Years ago, now, if they do this, they're going to have to go back and any company that has been sued over the years, as an example, the company that made thalidomide years ago when women were taking that thalidomide and their babies were being born with you know, horrific birth defects and limbs missing and things such as that. But if this happens with Monsanto, you can't
right.
sue them.
Right.
Why would the president do that?
Because it's in the best interest of the president.
Why would he do it?
The same reason, but see, that's what comes in when we have an ignorant electorate. See, that's what I'm saying. Now, guys, now women, listen, guys. This is the issue. If I wasn't ignorant, I would understand how the process works. One, I should not allow any addendum to a bill for anything. See, Congress should not be putting addendums and all these crazy things on bills. So you have a bill that's all about hand sanitizer, and next thing you know, I got a piece of legislation for, you know, putting a hamster on the wheel and see how fast he'll go, and I'll attach that to it. And then we get mad when I say no to the hand sanitizer when I'm actually talking about the hamster wheel. That's my problem. We are allowing things to happen within the process because we're too ignorant of the process to know how the process works. And American democracy is built upon having an educated electorate that we've dumbed down.
Tracy, there was nothing that American people could do to stop the Monsanto Protection Act.
That's not correct. That's not true. That's not true.
There's nothing they could do.
Actually, you tell the truth. You tell the truth on that. Because it was placed in there, it was placed in there by one of the congressmen,
it should never be allowed to be placed inside of a bill. Every bill should stand on its own two feet, and they should not be having these amendments to these bills that have nothing to do with the bill that's been written.
But Tracy, these amendments happen so quickly. Sometimes, most of the time, these congressmen don't even read the bill.
And
they finish editing it just minutes sometimes before it reaches the floor. And so how could the public possibly be adequately informed to do anything about that?
Because I'm saying that we ought to have a standard where there is no amendments allowed to be attached to any bill.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the American people could not do anything to prevent the Monsanto Protection Act.
They could not the way that it works, but they could on the way of the future. See, Monsanto should have stood on its own two feet.
Exactly.
See, and what I'm saying is Monsanto should have been a separate bill that had to stand on its own two feet, that had to come before Congress. And remember all that transparency that President Obama talked about?
Yep.
Well, we need to go back and make him stand on his own transparent feet. See, that's what I'm saying. See, we right now, we've got a whole lot of – while they're jockeying over in one place, what we talked – Alex, when the Monsanto bill passed, what was the headline that week?
It was something else big was in the news at the time.
Okay.
So, you know, our attention was diverted, apparently.
So,
you know.
My question is.
You didn't hear about it until a week later.
So, while we're playing this shell game with the American public, in which we're very, very good at, we say, hey, look over here, and then we go and do something over here. We need to make sure that every bill stands on its own two feet. Right now, I believe inside of Congress, they've got a bill for taxing the people on the internet.
Yeah.
Right.
See, so we're focused over here on something else, and they're getting ready to change the internet and everything that goes along with it, and we have no idea what's going on because, again, it's a shell game. and we still don't know the amendments to the bill that which they're passing this week. See, Congress can't get along with anything. They can't come along with gun reform, Issue 2, Second Amendment. They can't get along with health care and none of that like that. But they can understand, but when it comes to screwing the American public, they're very good at being in alignment with that. Have we noticed that?
Oh, yeah. That's why Ron Paul says there's bipartisan. People think that what we need is bipartisanship, but that's the last thing we need. You know, because if you have two parties that are typically progressive, but you have two parties that are misguided, the only thing you get is really, really bad legislation. And that's what happens. You see, whenever the Democrats and Republicans work together, we get things like, you know, the NDAA and drones and the Patriot Act and all these things that just, you know, are the most egregious assaults on the Constitution and our freedom. But they want to fight and bicker over things that don't really matter.
That's what I'm saying. That's the issue that I'm having today. When you talk about Monsanto, the reason why we can't get along in Congress is because I may be in opposition of, you know, one bill, but it's not because of the bill, but it's because of the amendments to the bill, in which that's only for the smart people that read the bill, because other people don't even have a clue what's in the bill. They just go there and do whatever they're told by their staffers.
Yeah, and people will criticize Ron Paul, calling him Dr. No, because he will vote no on just about all of them. And that was one of the main reasons, because all those what they call rider bills and, you know, things that they would attach to it.
And so why have we, as the American people, not stood up and said, we don't want any more attachments, amendments, riders, or anything else attached to a bill? If you're going to be talking about guns, the only thing that's inside of this bill is guns. If you're going to be talking about health, only thing inside this bill is health. You cannot put a road inside of a health bill. You can't put health inside of a transportation bill. But that goes back to what I said initially about having an ignorant electorate. And the reason why we're ignorant is because they have us comatose on social programs. We go to school and still can't read, and yet we knew that we couldn't read, but we still go to school, and then we wonder why we don't have an education, and the education system is deplorable. Hello? You knew I couldn't read when I was 10. What makes you think I can read now that I'm 17?
Well, it looks like if you eat that genetically modified corn, you're not going to be able to see either.
That's what I'm saying. We don't need you to see, because all I need, if you're blind, you're dependent upon the system. I'll gladly put you on SSI so I can continue to control you. Because this is all about power and control. Yesterday, I had a conversation with some people, and they were talking about race and racism. And they were trying to tell me that I was being hoodwinked by the Republican Party for being a part of them because they are the racist of America. And I said, well, these tweets that you're talking about do not have a political party attached to them. What you have is people are ignorant on all sides of the fence. And you're dumb enough to play into one side or the other, not realizing you're not dealing with people as people. And so they have us focusing in on the minutiae, while they actually over here are dealing with killing me with Monsanto. And we are not paying attention to what's going on because we're focusing in on the minors and not on the majors. And they have not taught me how to critically think. Because I'm not allowed to ask questions.
Better start asking something.
You're not allowed to ask because you don't think. If you don't think, you don't ask. You just do. You're zombies. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. So, Alex, you're absolutely right. But we need to make it to where people are educated to know that they need to pull these things apart and say, you can't do that anymore, and to lobby your congressman to make laws that they no longer can actually collude bills together. But everything must stand on its own merit, and everything must be transparent. If President Obama wants transparency, then we need to make sure that we get what we ask for. Instead of lying to everybody thinking you're doing something and you're not doing anything at all, but doing press conferences and speeches. Is that not what's going on?
That's exactly what's going on. That is exactly what's going on. I mean, it's smoke and mirrors. It's Bill Clinton's strategy on steroids.
Pretty much. You're giving me a whole bunch of speeches. Right now, you're telling me I'm supposed to hate all the presidents before me and give me some speeches and tell me you're going to do some things when you're, in actuality, you're not going to do them anyhow. So what happened to the bills being online for 3 days before we go, before we pass them? What you laughing at, South Carolina?
Have you seen one yet? I sure as heck haven't. Not a single one.
I mean, do we really understand? So Alex, you're talking about Monsanto? There's Monsanto, taxes, health care, all this message. We can't read it until we pass it.
Mm-hmm. But Tracy, yeah. it is so hypocritical, this bill. I mean, you mean to tell me you want to protect nature and protect people and protect the health of people, make sure they don't drink, you know, 64-ounce drinks or eat too much sugar and so on and so forth, but yet you put a bill in there that nobody can't sue a company that could cause them cancer or cause their children to be, you know, involuntary aborted or cause their children to have defects or brain issues and so on and so forth. And you're telling me that they are off limits?
Absolutely.
I can't sue them?
No.
Oh my gosh. Oh man. You talk, that burns me. And then do it in the form of a rider on another bill?
That's how we get things done. That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. So if I keep you dumbed down, Alex is talking about welfare reform. I need to have knowledge enough, to even if I'm on welfare, to know enough to not allow this to happen. So that's why I've got ADD, ADHD, and PYQ. That's why everybody's walking around Polaroid.
But you know, Tracy, I think that if you do it my way, you know, people wise it real fast. Because they realize that, you know, well, wow, you know, I'm shut out from the process, and so, you know, people get their act together real fast when that happens.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
listen, Alex, listen to this, because you, I don't think, what, you want to explain Monsanto to everyone.
Monsanto is a biotechnology a corporation that. Most of their money comes from genetically modifying seeds for different crops, different beans, but their cash cow is corn, and the government subsidizes their corn, and so that's why everything's fried in corn oil, canola oil, vegetable oil, whatever, because it comes from their crop, from their seed. And why high fructose corn syrup is in everything, but they're a biotech firm that makes that's in the agriculture business, and they supply seeds. But the thing about them, they're so insidious that they've engineered their seeds. Now you know a seed, it makes a plant, and the plant has more seeds. And so you think, well, I only got to buy these seeds once. Well, they've genetically modified them so that they're mules, or that they only produce once. And so then you got to keep buying the seeds from them. Nobody asks, well, does this have any adverse effects to our health? Should we be eating this? Should you be eating these seedless grapes? You know, because plants are meant to, can perpetuate their life. Otherwise plants wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't exist because they would only grow once. So, you know, that's the gist of Monsanto. They're a huge corporation with federal government subsidy. And so they use that money that they get from the subsidies to lobby government, lobby Congress, FDA, and now they're virtually untouchable.
So now, I'm looking at Al Jazeera,
mm-hmm.
And this is the headline of it. This was done on April the 2nd, 2013. Why has Obama approved a law giving immunity to the production and sale of genetically modified food in the United States? Hold on, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. Hold on, I got to go. I got to take my break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WS.
Hey, Alex.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm on. I've done the whole time we've been sitting here. I've been taking, looking on the internet, and the only story that I found in a major, Tracy just found Al Jazeera, but in a major news release has been with the Huffington Post. The bill was passed. It was signed on the 13th of March.
Wow. Yep, you haven't heard anything about it?
Nope.
In the news. Nope. We care about, you know, artists focus on gays and whatever else, you know, all gun control and, you know, you hear about, gay, that's pretty much 24/7 now. Is gay people, gun control, and terrorism is 24/7. But, you know, something like this, you hear nothing about it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah,
well,
that's kind of, that really pisses me off.
Yeah, it should. That really pisses me off. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, I try not to, you know, beat around the bush. I try to get to the root of problems. You know, I've stated what I think is the root of the problem, you know, and how to solve it. But I know it's a little too extreme for Tracy, but yeah, that's my view, you know. But but this stuff happens all the time, though. You know, Monsanto is just one example. But, you know, we've seen a lot of things like this happen in the, you know, in the alternative energy sector, green energies. We've seen it with solar panels, Solyndra, you know. They got $500 million and it went bankrupt. You know, and then got another,
right.
What was it, two, didn't they go back and get another $200 million or something like that?
Right.
After they went bankrupt? You know, just, you know, just different things like that. It's just... It stuff happens all the time, especially with big companies, energy companies, you know, General Electric, Siemens Energy, you know, different companies, big corporations. They get certain things, certain favors from the government, and then they turn around and lobby to get their way. So then it's like, how does things ever change, you know? So I don't think that they can under those conditions, you know.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if there's going to be any backlash. I'm getting it all on Facebook now.
Yeah, you know, it's, the media has completely ignored it. You know, it's been, well, whatever, going on 2 months since it's happened. I mean, it's crazy. Absolutely insane.
Yep. Let's put it up. You on Facebook?
Yeah, I am. You can find it, Alex Beverly. I mean, or Alex Beverly last name spelled Bevly. I'm probably the only person out there with that name. So Bevly, like Beverly, but without the ER. Bevly.
Bevly. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see if I can find you. Okay. All right, I just sent one to you.
Working today, or what are you getting into?
Action for primary mortgage origination. Once again, if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, or if you owe more than your home is worth, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power and Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Hope you're having a good day today. It's open mic, and Alex brought up, you know, we were talking about social programs and welfare, and Alex brought up Monsanto and corporate welfare in conjunction with personal assistance or personal welfare. And he brought up Monsanto, and then brought into this House bill, 933, that was passed by President Obama and the Senate and the House in the beginning of April, I want to say it is, and it struck a conversation about Monsanto, and they are genetically modified foods. And that's how you got to realize when you get one of those seedless watermelons, that's genetically modified because everything that you eat supposed to have, that grows, is supposed to have a seed. And that's what we were and that's what we were talking about. And it's very, very interesting, but then it goes to my state of having responsibility and being an educated electorate. Today is election day in the Mahoning Valley. It's election day in the state of Ohio. And here locally is a very, very light turnout. And it's because of the complacency of the electorate. Last year they mobilized you. And to be mobilized means I have excited you enough to excite you to go out to vote. And what I'm saying to everyone is you ought to be automatically motivated to go out and vote every election just based upon the simple fact that it's election day and to make sure that the right people are going to get elected to do the job that you want to see done. And that's not happening because you're not mobilized. And when people mobilize you, that means they're controlling you. And we need to quit being controlled and start controlling them. South Carolina and Alex is on the phone. We want to hear from you also. The number is 347-945-5229. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey. I got issues.
I
got issues. Alex is crazy, but, you know, he's not crazy to where he's insane.
Yeah, but
well, I'm telling you, if you do things my way, things will turn around immediately. You know.
No, that's no, Alex. We can't make where people can't vote.
Why not? I mean, I don't understand. Like, people don't. You know, most people don't vote anyway. So, and then on top of that, again, it's a conflict of interest. How can you expect? How can you, if someone's getting public assistance, how can you expect them to vote against the party that tells them we're going to increase your public assistance?
That makes sense logically, but you can't do that. You just have to educate them. You have to educate them on the process to where and you need to change the accountability factor of how long they stay on and how do you mobilize them off of welfare just like you mobilize them to vote.
That's how you mobilize them off of welfare.
No.
If they cannot participate in public policy, I guarantee you, both companies and individuals would change their mindset about the role of government, and that's what we need to do is change people's minds about the role of government.
Rick, is that you? Oh, yes, South Carolina.
Logically, it makes all the sense in the world.
No, logically, Alex. I mean, logically, yes, but that's not constitutional. No, can't do that.
Why not?
Because
you take my money, you do what I say.
That's true too, but you can't take people's vote away because no, that would be bad.
You're not taking away their vote, Tracy. You're just making the system fair.
You mean it's unfair? Now, I don't think you ought to be able to vote on taxes if you don't own a home. Now, I believe that, but you can't tell them that they can't vote if they're on public assistance. Hey, Rick, your mic is on.
We got you on hold.
518, your mic is on.
Hey, Trace, I think that's a very slippery slope that we have to be very careful and going down because ultimately for black people to, specifically black people, for them to go ahead and say, well, there should be certain stipulations for why people should be allowed to vote and why people shouldn't be allowed to vote, ultimately someone's going to say, well, black people shouldn't be allowed to vote, period. I don't care what the stipulations are, you shouldn't be allowed. But we got to be very careful, and I understand what Alex is saying. I completely understand why South Carolina agrees with it. I get it. But then at the same time, you begin to take certain things away from people. Ultimately, they take it away for everyone.
See, and that's, I mean, I don't think we, based upon your social status, that doesn't mean you should or should not be able to vote. But our problem is, we don't educate the electorate. Again, I go back to what my word was. They mobilize you to vote if it's in their best interest. But right now, if you look around today, you would not know today is election day in the Mahoning Valley that we had, especially in the city of Youngstown, that you would have a mayor on the ballot.
Check it out. Now, I had to ask Alex in South Carolina this. Do you believe now, because of what you're saying, your premise on those people on assistance, should have stipulations on their voting rights? And then, Tracy, I guess I have to include you in there with the taxing on if you don't own a home. Now here then the question becomes, am I to assume that people that aren't on assistance and people that do own homes, am I to assume that they are intellectually and informally making the best decisions when they go and vote?
I think you're missing my point. I said if you don't own a home, you should not be able to vote on taxes.
Property
taxes. It's kind of hard for you to vote on a property tax if you don't have to pay for the taxes that you have property on. You understand?
Yeah, does that mean you're not making an informed decision, though? See, that's what I'm saying. Are people?
You're not a part of the process. I mean, if you don't own the home, you're not paying the taxes on the home.
Yeah. Yeah, because the reason for that is, you know, because property taxes, if, say, you want those, you may not have a property, but those taxes do go towards your local community. And so you may be like, well, I think we need a new community center, but I'm not going to have to pay the tax. They're going to have to pay it. So and so you decide
and
you
I
vote
like
to
that.
Raise the tax.
I like
So
right,
no,
like
the people
that,
who don't own property should not be able to vote on property taxes.
Property taxes,
I agree, but I have a problem
with people that are on welfare can't vote.
All I'm saying is, do people make informed decisions even though they're not on welfare, even though they do own their property? Am I to assume that they're making better decisions when they go and vote than the person that is on welfare?
Well, what he's saying is not the point. What I'm saying is, People that are on welfare are more likely to vote for people that are going to keep their check coming next month. So when you go back to what Mitt Romney said about the 47% of people on Social Security and public assistance.
Uh-huh.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. But why is it that you don't just because you might be 38 years old or 45 years old or even 50 years old and you're still working and you might have a good-paying job, that doesn't mean that you're always going to be 38, 45, or 50 with a good-paying job. Life happens. Life happens. And things change that cause your economic situation
true.
In your home to change.
But we're talking about, but you have to understand what happens. People are on the public system. And we're not talking about people that need to be on there. There are people who need to be on public assistance. But what they've done is they have sucked people into a cycle where you can't get off.
But, Tracy, I got a question for you. I got a question, and this bothers me. This bothers me to the umpteenth degree. We in this country talk so much about people being on public assistance, but how come we don't ever talk about the national military budget? How come we don't talk about the money that we're funding to people over in other countries and nations that is way more than our public assistance deficit that they like to talk about?
I don't know why we're not talking about that. When I talk about public assistance, I'm talking about the brainwashing of the people, not about the money that they get, about the brainwashing that they receive because they get it. See,
that's
this is my issue.
Facebook.
No. Listen to what I'm saying.
Too much money overseas.
No, Rick, don't change. Listen to what I'm saying. People who are on public assistance, the dumbing down, the apathy of the people of the electorate of the United States today, it is because of the system. And the more undereducated you are, the more likely you are not to participate in the process. And right now,
that we don't even know how much money they're spending in the military defense.
But Rick, those of us who know, those of us who are educated, understand what you're saying. What I'm talking about is the brainwashing of the underserved of America, and how do we get them off of the public assistance system to where they become productive and they become critical thinkers on their own so that they can engage the process and ask about why they're spending money on the military.
Tracy, but we have countries that are on our public assistance program. Countries. I know that.
But are you missing my point? I need for people to wake up so they'll ask the same question and know what to do about it instead of being lulled to sleep right now and not being a part of the system. Right now, no one is being mobilized to go out and vote today because nobody cares who wins.
So since
the masses don't care, since the money people, since the ghost people, since the shadow people don't care who wins, nobody is being mobilized to go vote.
All right, well, Tracy, then this question I have for you guys is maybe it's a conspiracy question or not. But what happens when we vote and we still don't get the things that we're voting for?
Because you don't know, because I've kept you ignorant in the process. Just because you go and vote does not mean your responsibility is over. But I have kept you so ignorant in how to make things happen. You think you've done something when you've gone to vote when it's only the beginning of the process. Just like I said about President Barack Obama, he said that he was going to have transparency. He said that he was going to put the bills on the Internet for 3 days so that you could read them before he signed them. And none of that has come true. Why not?
All I'm saying is I think we have been sold a lie, sold a dream, that if we go and vote, we'll be better, we'll be more responsible citizens, and that's not the truth. We get so caught up in going to vote that we don't even take action downtown in our city hall.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And we are ignorant of the fact of how to make things happen. And
well,
it's because we've been conditioned. No, no, it's because we've been conditioned. It is a conditioning, and we think, and we have been underserved by our ignorance, and they continue to breed us ignorantly so that we do not think critically and ask them questions. Because people who think, they actually take charge of responsibilities, and they make people answer questions.
Tracy, we're living in a day and time now where the more questions you ask, especially
after 10 years in captivity at a house.
I don't care. I need to ask you anyhow. Because see, people who are intellectual don't care about what you think of their question. They just ask it anyhow because they want to know. The question is, when are we going to stand up and begin to become educated enough to ask the questions so that we know about Monsanto? Hold on. Listen, an educated electorate does not allow Monsanto to pass. An educated electorate does not put minimum wage inside of the Constitution. And an educated electorate does not put private business in their own state constitution.
Tracy, when does this question that you want us to ask not threaten our own civil freedoms and rights? Because nowadays, the more questions you ask, the more you're considered a non-American. You don't support America.
No. That's because you're conditioned. They make you believe because you ask a question, you're not a citizen. But what you don't realize is because you ask, that makes you a citizen. An active participant. They make sure that you got to understand, they make sure that they put people in place to mobilize you when they want mobilized. But when they don't want to mobilize you, they just go to sleep. And they know how to lull you to sleep, and they know how to wake you up.
Put you in jail or kill you.
Last November, we talked about voter suppression. They said that they were trying to suppress the vote. So people stood out the line for hours to go vote for a man that they don't know. But yet, you have less than 2,000 people that have voted absentee in the city of Youngstown for this election. Do we understand that? Is that not ludicrous?
2,000 that voted absentee. Wow.
And they stood in line for hours to vote for a man that they will never meet. But yet you have a mayoral campaign election today on the ballot.
Do you depend on your...
And nobody cares. Because nobody has mobilized you to go to the polls to vote. You shouldn't have to be mobilized. Mobilized means to be manufactured, moved. Are we not understanding that? So since they don't care, they don't mobilize you.
No, Trace, I think it's bigger than that. What would happen if the people that you're talking about in Youngstown that don't vote turned up downtown to talk about the things that are not right in their community?
It would change the world. It would change our quality of life.
Chase, do you know how many people would go to jail that day?
No, they wouldn't.
Oh, and?
No, they wouldn't.
If they went to jail, they just went to jail.
No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't go to jail. Because they wouldn't have to. They make sure you are undereducated. They make sure you don't know better. They make sure that when you go to city council meetings that you are kept in the dark. They make sure of that. They make sure when you go to the school board meeting you don't know how to get a good education out of your system. They make sure of that because of the undereducated electorate. They don't care whether your kids learn a lot as long as they make the money on it.
Well, listen, Trace, all I know is I just recently talked to a gentleman that serves in our military, and he just got back from Afghanistan from being over there a year. He has somewhat of a good position. And he was saying how our government, he said he doesn't understand why they always talk about there is no money, why gas has to be so high. He said he does not understand that, and it makes him mad, although he still serves. It's his job. It makes him mad because he knows, he sees the truth. He knows what's going on over in these other countries and how much money and aid they're giving these countries. And when we talk about keeping people on welfare because we want to make sure they stay dumb, you have countries that are getting billions of dollars from a country who's $1 trillion over a deficit. Now, where's that money coming from, Trace?
It's coming from you. It's coming from you.
How is it coming from me? I don't have it.
Listen, guys. This is what I'm saying about being ignorant. Every April 15th, you think you're getting something? You're not getting nothing. That's what we're talking about. You
billions of dollars to other countries.
Rick. Do you understand? Do you understand that we have corporate taxes, we have local taxes, we have state taxes, we get ready to tax the internet. Everything that you have has a tax on it. This money is coming from you. You are paying for it.
Yeah, but
they're taking the money from you and giving it to everybody else.
It is not the government that's paying for it.
They're giving it back to a corporation.
Go ahead, South Carolina.
You're saying they're giving it to the corporations. But what's happening is it's going to different things that it really shouldn't be going to. I mean, yeah, we were talking about earlier about corporate welfare, but that's just a drop in the bucket, man. I mean, you want to talk about a system that is crazy. Here you had in the bailout of the automobile industry, you had a situation where essentially the unions bought the company, supported by the government money. Okay? Then the unions turn around and do what with it? Donate it back. To who? To Obama's campaign fund. Listen, you realize Obama has almost a billion dollars?
No.
Do you realize he's
still raising money today?
He's still raising money. You know why? You know why? Because on January 17th, and I had a guy, his name is Murray Jordan. I told him I was going to say his name on the air. His name is Murray Jordan, and he gave me a shocker this morning when I talked to him. He said that on 17th, we will be inaugurating the second Obama for president of the United States because nobody has a war chest like us, not even Hillary Clinton. Nobody has a war chest like that, and they're going to go full bore to demonize anybody that wants. They're going to demonize them on the Democrat side, on the Republican side, to make sure that that these folks, or Miss Queen Obama, gets in.
We are being manipulated.
Exactly.
And that's a problem. 205, your mic is on.
Hey, how's it going, Trace?
Hey, how you doing, Sticks? Did you just call? Hello, Sticks.
Sticks. Hello, Sticks.
Hello, Sticks. Okay, but I'm just and Rick and you're not too Rick, you're not far off. The issue is, they've undereducated you on the process. You don't think that President Obama is not doing anything, but there's a reason why they're demonizing people all along the way and making sure that you don't work in a bipartisan way except when they want to.
Yeah, well, Trace, I'm just not convinced that it's going to change just because somebody went out to the polls and voted. No, you're missing my point.
Rick, I said educated.
Listen
to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. There is, when I say mobilized, that means I have put an inertia behind you to push you to where I want you to go. It's not because you went on your own volition. It's because I pushed you where I wanted you to go. We don't understand the difference between mobilization and going on our own accord. And what they've done is they keep on pushing us when they want to push our buttons and then releasing the button when we don't, when they want us to release. And we don't understand the difference between the two. South Carolina, AJ, you guys, Alex, you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I understand 100%.
Yeah.
You know, it's like push the button and, you know, the little monkey comes out and then push the button back and goes back in its cage.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So how do you have people stand in line for hours to go and vote for a man that they don't know, but the mayor of your city no one comes out for? How does that happen?
Now, which one is going to be able to more directly affect your daily living?
The mayor.
Exactly.
That's, and so when the city goes down a creek and you don't get anything for it, then whose fault is that?
Oh, when they raise your water rates like they just did here.
Oh, don't mention water here. Water's a bad word. Don't mention I'm bringing the water man in here, and he's my friend, and I'm going to get him. Listen, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. Got about 30 minutes to go. Do want to hear from you today. Again, the number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
Now, when liberals use the Bible and Christianity to advance their progressive ends, well, the mainstream media agrees with them. For them, it's just, oh, yeah, I agree with that. When a conservative uses the Bible and Christianity to advance a conservative point, they hyperventilate in the media. They're warning of a coming theocracy in America.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600.
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. A local man is anonymously donating a burial plot for alleged Boston Marathon bomber Tamerlan Tsarnaev, whose relatives have been unable to find a place to bury his remains in Massachusetts. The donor says he will allow the remains to be buried at Crown Hill Burial Park in Vienna because, quote, It's the Christian thing to do. Officials evacuated about 350 students from Youngstown Community School after someone found a threat written on a bathroom wall. Youngstown police have not specified what was written on the wall, but they said the message warned of something taking place at about 2:45 p.m. at the school. And three food banks and six partner agencies in Ohio are getting hunger relief grants totaling $255,000. That's part of $3 million being distributed to organizations around the country by Feeding America through a Walmart initiative called Fighting Hunger Together. Walmart says the public voted online. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
The Valley's Medical Guide is coming to a Walgreens near you. This medical guide is packed with useful health tips and a local physician's listing. Enter to win a $500 American Express card. Pick up your free copy at a local participating Walgreens pharmacy. Stop by a Walgreens near you in Mahoning, Trumbull, Lawrence, and Mercer counties. Plus, a chance to win a $500 American Express card. Now at Walgreens, accepting most Express Scripts plans.
This time, it's personal. The local talk show that keeps you thinking about local, regional, national, and global issues. Let's get back to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Charles, let me talk to you. I'm talking with Charles Ramsey. He's a neighbor. Walk me through again what happened this afternoon. You heard screaming.
Heard screaming. I'm eating my McDonald's. I come outside. I see this girl going nuts, trying to get out of a house. So I go on the porch.
Okay.
I go on the porch, and she says, "Help me get out. I've been in here a long time." So, you know, I figured it's a domestic violence dispute. So I open the door, and we can't get in that way because how the door is, it's so much that a body can't fit through, only your hand. So we kick the bottom, and she comes out with the little girl, and she says, "Call 911. My name is Amanda Berry."
And did you know who that was when she said that?
When she told me, it didn't register until I got the call in 911. And I'm like, I'm calling the 911 for Amanda Berry? I thought this girl was dead. You know what I mean? And she got on the phone, and she said, "Yes, this is me." And the detective, Cook, right here, Detective Gregory Cook, says, "Charles, do you know who you rescued?" I said,
"Now, and when did you see Gina?"
About five.
We're good.
So about 5 minutes after the police got here. See, that girl Amanda told the police, "I ain't just the only one. It's some more girls up in that house." So they went up there, you know, 30, 40 deep, and when they came out, it was just astonishing because I thought they were going to come up with nothing. I figured, whoever she was, and like I say, my neighbor, you got some big testicles to pull this off, bro. Because we see this dude every day. I mean, every day.
How long have you lived here?
I've been here a year.
Okay.
You still coming from?
Right.
I barbecue with this dude. We eat ribs and whatnot and listen to salsa music. You still coming from?
And you had no indication that there was anything going on?
Bro, not a clue that girl was in that house or anybody else was in there against their will. Because how he is, he just comes out to his backyard, plays with the dogs, tinker with his cars and motorcycles, goes back in the house. So he's somebody that you look away because he's not doing nothing but the average stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nothing exciting about him. Well, until the day.
what was the reaction on the girls' faces? I can't imagine to see the sunlight, to be around people.
Bro, I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Something is wrong here. Dead giveaway.
Hey, we're back and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. That is an interview that was out of Cleveland. What'd you say, South Carolina?
I like him.
He has definitely gone viral.
Yeah.
Young lady, I guess there was a house or apartment full of people where this man had captured and kidnapped and held without them wanting to be there. And he lived a normal life. He said they say they had no idea that he had more than one person in that house. That's some serious stuff. And so I played the clip because the man went viral. I mean, I can't believe that he's all and people are sending him around. And he looks like Eddie Murphy inside and when he played the barber.
Yep.
He does. He looks like Eddie Murphy when he played the barber in Coming to America.
But that is, well, that last statement, he knew something was wrong when he saw a little white girl running 10 dogs or a black man. So.
That's what I'm saying. They say it's the best. It is the best interview on TV. So you knew something was wrong. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I may be wrong, and I don't think I am. But I just think that we're being dumbed down and we're being maneuvered, and we don't even know that we're being maneuvered. We're on almost like on a people mover in the airport, and you're standing still, but you're actually moving. And it only moves when they want you to move, and when they don't want you to move, they turn off the power, and you're standing still.
Yep.
And you're too dumb to realize you're still not moving?
Well, I guess it's gotten to the point to where it's relative now, Tracy. You know, that people just assume that their government can be trusted, their representatives can be trusted, and so on and so forth. But like I was telling, you know, the lady today, you know, when January 1st, 2014 hits and people realize that they have taken a huge hit to their pocketbook, there's going to be some people taken to the streets.
More than we know.
Because you know you're going to get hit too, Trace, because you know you don't have no health insurance.
Oh, yes, I do.
Well, you do that? Oh, wow.
I got government benefits.
You got good. Is there anything like government cheese?
Yep, they good cheese.
Wow. Does Jeff know?
don't tell Jeff.
Wow. That is absolutely amazing, though. How do you keep someone in a house for 10 years and your neighbors don't even know anything about it? I mean,
easy.
How?
One, you don't pay attention. But secondly, I mean, if you don't let them out, you close the blinds, and if I don't never come into your house, I never pay attention. You got to realize people go to work with people, and they come to work with black eyes and beat up it and all over their body and don't know that they're being brutalized when they go home.
Well, I can do that. I know that kind of – I'm just observing like that of people, but I know what's going on at my neighbor's house or over at my neighbor's house. And my neighbor pretty much knows what's going on. We get up there and we talk to each other.
South Carolina.
Hmm?
Have you have a friend and you didn't know they were a dog until after years later you found that they were a real dog to other people except for you?
They were afraid of me, you think?
Yeah. Or people that you knew.
Well, I mean, I knew people that were dogs, but everybody else didn't know. But I knew. When a person don't want to let you in their house, there's something going on and you need to know about it. My grandma told me that. Now, listen to them old people here because they know what they're talking about.
Now, that is true. That is true.
Yep.
That is so very, very true.
He told me one time, son, I'll teach you everything that you know, but I'll never teach you everything that I know. So,
I'm to the point now, and I've got major issues, that we are not engaging in the process as we should. We're not being aware of what's going on around us. Just, and as you said, the man next door. You know, we haven't been taught to pay attention to one. We don't teach our kids that.
You got to, though. You got to be able to pay attention in a sense that you know what's going on in your neighborhood. That's your neighborhood. Like, my neighbor, he's passed away now, but if I went away someplace, if I went out of town, he could tell me who went to the house, what time they went to the house, who they looked like, what they were in, what kind of car they were driving, and everything. And the same thing for me. I got three dogs out there that will let me know and will introduce themselves up close and personal to anybody that comes in the yard or anybody that goes in the adjacent yards.
But we're taught that. I mean, as with everything, if you come from another generation, you were taught to be more mindful of what was going on around you. Pay attention to your environment. Today, we are told, tend to your business, and I'll tend to mine. So if the house is on fire next door, you might call 911, you might not.
Well, I tell you what, my daughter was in her room and the house across the street caught on fire. She looked out, she called me, I ran across the street and got the son, he worked some kind of swing shift and was in there asleep, got him up, we went and got his father, got him out of the house. But my daughter, she said she didn't think nothing of it. You know, she just saw it and called me, and I went over there. But he could have very easily just said, oh, the house is on fire. Wow. But since I knew my neighbor, I knew he was in there sick. I had to get him out. But see, nowadays, Tracy, you know, that just doesn't happen. I mean, just like the nine ladies that got injured on the freeway there in the limousine.
Now it's did they find out what happened with that limousine yet?
Well, they think it was an issue with a fuel line, but also they're saying that the driver just got out of the car and would not help them get out.
See what I mean?
Saying?
Have you not heard of save yourself and heck with everybody else?
No, you don't leave nobody on the battlefield. You just can't do that.
That's Marine talking. Do you understand? That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly. We are so self-absorbed. And we've been conditioned to become self-absorbed to where we don't do anything for anyone unless we're going to get something out of it. And we're teaching our young people the same thing and wondering why they're not getting anything out of anything.
No initiative, no drive,
none.
No sense of
none.
No sense of, you know, doing something just I call it just because.
No. No such no, we don't do that.
Wow.
That's foreign. That's foreign.
That
We're not teaching anyone any self responsibility, any self reliance, nothing.
That should be second nature.
They're taking your nature away from you.
Do you think that had anything with us being taught the golden rule and those principles called the Ten Commandments while we were in grade school?
You know, why would you ask me that? You know I think so.
So I'm surprised Bianchi hadn't called in to when I said that.
I mean, how could teaching the Ten Commandments be wrong?
Hey, Madeline Murray O'Hare thought it was, and she got it kicked out of the school. So.
Don't steal, don't kill, don't sleep with somebody else. Put God first, put your neighbor, love your neighbor, treat them right, do the right thing. How in the world could that be bad teaching in a school?
I don't know. I don't know. What's the alternative? Steal from your neighbor, beat the heck out of them. But wait a minute. Now, that's a contradiction.
What do you think we're doing?
You don't want you to help. But they're bullying each other. When they call bullying today, I call horseplay.
Oh, that ain't no bullying. At least they got their lunch money. They got free lunch.
Well, you ain't got to worry about lunch money now.
But look at this. Look at how they condition the kids in the schools today with free lunch. They don't even make them have to do anything for it or behave for their lunch. So they just think that everything comes free in America. So they go to lunch and they get free lunch. I mean, don't we see this as a setup?
Yeah.
Am I reading too much into this?
No, you're not reading too much into it. I mean, it's really conditioning. I mean, I hate to use this analogy, but it's like catalyzed dogs, you know?
It is.
You, you condition people to live. Actually, you know, you lower the standard so they can get used to living at that standard. And that way, when you do make everybody live at that standard, there is no pushback.
They have no, so they walk, everything is free. We don't, at one time, if you wanted, you know, kids had jobs and they went next door and they asked the lady next door, can I do something for you so I can get some money so I can get some stuff for school? Today, now we even stand in, you just stand in line and you get a free backpack and school supplies.
Over
I'm
the
serious.
Weekend, Tracy, I had a discussion with one of my daughters, my youngest daughter, and she was saying that she wanted a car. And I said, okay, no problem. I know the kind of car you need. And I just happened to see one just like it riding down the road. And I said, that's what you're going to get for your car, something like that. And she says to me, Daddy, I can't ride around in nothing like that. I said, well, if you can't ride around in nothing like that, you just have to walk.
We are conditioning our young people for nothing.
Nothing. Nothing at all.
And we don't see it. I'm looking at this, and probably tomorrow, since Styx will be here, we'll talk about this. This paint of, they say it's a zombie of Obama, but then everything we see now, if it looks like a duck, walk like a duck, it looks like Obama. At the NRA, so we got to talk about the zombie thing tomorrow and the NRA and all that kind of stuff. But I'm so tired of us being so dumbed down, emotionally driven into stuff that we don't get anything done, and it's killing us. People dying from entitlement.
They give us the food stamps to buy the genetically modified food that's going to kill us.
Wait a minute. And I have come to find out that, you know, equal will kill you.
What's the equal? Is aspartame or which one
aspartame?
Is that?
Aspartame is in everything you've got. Aspartame is in everything we eat. You can't chew gum without aspartame. I'm serious.
Well, that's how it works. That is how it works. And this is all being done for the love of money.
They don't even love money no more because money has no value.
So I don't know what they understand. It makes no sense to me. All I know is when I say certain things, Tracy, people look at me like I've said something crazy. They look at me like I got a third nose or two noses, you know, coming out of my face.
I'm just amazed by what we're doing today. I am.
Well, Tracy, I'll tell you what. What do you think the next generation is going to look like?
That's kind of scary, dude.
Yeah. And that's the generation that is going to be, quote-unquote, caring for you and I. Well, them old folks, they don't need nothing. You ain't got to worry about it. Just let them die.
Oh, they're going to kill the old people. Coming to an old people near you.
Yeah.
My question is, who's going to take care of me?
There you go.
Alex?
Yes.
When I get old, you going to take care of me?
You might want to get another husband or something.
Alex.
Yeah.
Who's going to take care of me when I get old?
Your husband.
Alex, you listen, darling.
Yeah, I already got a mama that I'm going to have to take care of.
Yeah, but she's so much older than me. You can have a second one and then, you know, work backwards.
Oh, yeah.
Rick.
Yeah.
You
going to
take care of me when I get old?
You asking these people who going to take care of you. You know what you need to do. Have you a man. Get you a man and have a kid.
Oh, no. It ain't that serious.
What?
No, it's not that serious. I'm not having kids. There's no guarantee that the kids are going to take care of you.
If you train them up right, Tracy, they'll take care of you.
No, No, can't have kids.
All right. You playing around. You messing around with your security.
No kids. Kids are good. No kids.
We don't like them when they're young, but when they get older, you know, at some point they get some sense in them.
Alex, can one of your kids take care of me?
You're going to have to ask them.
No, because they be feeding me something crazy. I take that back.
I'm still trying to convince my wife to give me a little girl because, you know, boys, they forget about their daddies, but the little girls, they take care of their fathers. So I got two boys. I need a little girl to take care of me. So I'm still working on that.
Are you past childbearing years?
Well, Alex, I guess I shouldn't have nothing to worry about.
So you're straight.
No, you don't.
I'm straight.
Yeah, you're good.
Hey, Alex, that's not true. That's not true. Don't believe that.
It's not?
Well, actually, Alex, with genetically modified, you know, Monsanto, maybe you might be able to orchestrate that little girl and make sure it's not a little boy.
I was gonna say something, but I would probably get in big trouble.
Yeah, don't say it. Don't say it. Listen, I already got Ben and Jeff. They always get me in trouble. Don't you start.
But yeah. Yep. Are we doing gas and oil tomorrow, Tracy?
We're doing gas and oil tomorrow. Tomorrow we're also going to be – it's going to be an open mic with me and Stick, so we'll just talk about a little bit of anything. There's a lot going on. We're going to talk about the outcoming of the mayor's race. We got oil under our feet. I want to come back and have a conversation about what we talked about yesterday, about the oil under our feet here in the United States being so rich. And how it's going to affect the quality of life here in the Mahoning Valley, yet the people in the Mahoning Valley aren't really grasping what's coming. Again, going back to, I motivate you when I want to motivate you, and I put you to sleep when I want to put you to sleep.
If I'm not mistaken, didn't they find deposits in Illinois, too?
Oh, we got deposits all over the place. There's all
wow.
in them there hills.
Wow. So in other words, you got folks that would walk around, you know, Illinois with turbans on, you know, wearing those big old Arab shawls, and, you know,
pretty much.
Whole entourage.
Pretty much. There's all of them there hills if you want some. Hey, listen, I got to go. I'm at the end of my day. I appreciate all y'all. I'll stay in South Carolina. Thank you for coming and pinch hitting with me today. I appreciate it. Alex, always great to talk to you. Always bringing something weird. No, you can't take away the people's right to vote. and Rick, I appreciate you because you were just Rick. God bless you guys. I'll see you guys on tomorrow. Please go out and vote today, and we'll be back then. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of our break.
Ford offers seven models with an EPA estimated rating of 40 miles per gallon highway or better. Get 0% financing for 60 months on best-selling models. Drowning in credit card debt?
Realize credit counseling only lowers interest and takes up to 7 years?
Thinking about bankruptcy, but found out the new bankruptcy law forces you to repay your debt and may ruin your credit for 10 years.
If yes, and you don't want to risk your property or your future, and you need fast debt relief, call the U.S. Financial Management My Debt Negotiation Program.
My debt negotiation paid off my bills in only 36 months. Help me avoid bankruptcy.
Get the superior solution to bankruptcy in credit counseling.
I reduced my debt by 70% and with one low monthly payment.
End harassing collection calls.
calls.
I was afraid to answer the phone until my debt negotiation stopped the hassling once and for all.
Restore your credit.
We finally bought our dream house.
Stop overpaying credit card companies today. Grab a pen and take this number down. 1-800-WSOM,
Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM. You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends.